Good evening. I'm going to be reading out of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and my text is going to be 25 through 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up on his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your word. Thank you for sending light into this world, which we celebrate this season. In Jesus' name, amen. So the thrust of my text that I want to go over with you today is verses 32 and 34. A light to lighten the Gentiles. A child that is going to be set for the fall and the rising of many. And that's exactly what these children sang about this night. I love Christmas time, and it's no secret to anybody that knows me that Christmas is far and away my favorite time of year. I can still vividly remember the first Christmas that I celebrated after being saved. I can remember the thoughts. I was saved in March, and by that December, I can remember the thoughts of my heart realizing the change that had taken place in just so short few months. Realizing that Jesus, God himself, Creator God, left his throne on high to become man so that I could see heaven. That he could bring all men to him like Simeon prophesied. This Creator that I'm talking to you about, Jesus Christ, he spoke the world into existence. He created the sun, which is 1.3 million times the size of the planet Earth. That's mind-boggling to me. We can look in the cosmos and see how big God is. I'm a nurse, and so I've studied the human body. We can look into the tiniest things and see how big God is. We can see bones that once realigned will by nearly magic mend themselves by God's providence, by God's creative hand. We can see organ systems that work so intricately together, the respiratory system working with the cardiovascular system to bring needed oxygen to the muscles, and then that same circulatory system to bring wastes back. It's incredible. It's awe-inspiring. And so every sunrise and sunset shouts the glory of God. But Christmas time brings that glory down to people like us. It brings that exalted high glory and condescends to people like me who could be saved by the gospel of Christ. No greater joy in my life is the joy that is brought not just in my own heart, but into my home, the joy into my family, the cry of a new baby in our house, two sisters that will play and do arts and crafts together. That's all because of Jesus Christ and the great love wherewith he has loved us. You contrast that with the darkness that I spoke about, the darkness before, in those months before I got saved, the unspeakable things that I would do to search for that fulfillment. We don't even need to go down those roads, the alcohol and the things of that nature. Just anything that man can do to fill that hole that it can only be filled by Christ. And it's this world that Christ came to save, came to redeem. The world that Christ was born into is dark, and we can't overplay the darkness of the world. Yeah, he was born into a world without electricity, so it was pre-air conditioning and General Electric. It was before telephone and cars, yes, but it was also a world full of diseases that you and I take for granted that we can just simply go to telemed on our smartphone and get an antibiotic for. How about an ear infection that is almost crippling, but with some simple drops can be cured in a couple days, that you would just have to wait to resolve on its own. And then not to mention the darkness of man's religion. So in my work experiences, as I told you already, I'm a nurse, and I'm often able to talk to my patients and tell them about the hope that lies within me. The hope that there is a conqueror that has overcome their disease and that has overcome the death that they and I are imminently facing. And so the way that comes is oftentimes I talk about my kids. I love my kids. I love my wife. And I always have two pictures readily available. One is with Austin, my 17-year-old, and my 1-year-old. And Austin's eating breakfast, and my 1-year-old has a little pink tutu on. And it's my favorite picture of Austin and Caroline. And then the second picture that I can flip to is my two girls, Lorelai and Joycelyn, my 12 and 10-year-old, that caught a sparrow on our front porch one day. And so I can show them my family, and they say, "Oh, that's so beautiful. You have such a beautiful family." And I say, "Yes, I'm very blessed. God has been better to me than I deserve." Because I remember those days. And they say to me, because it's easy, because there's a TV in every room, and it's typically in the daytime, it's tuned to cable news. And so any given day, there's a shooting in a school or a shooting at a naval air station. And they say to me, "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid of raising your kids in this dark world, in this dark culture, in this culture of death with drugs and school shootings?" And I say, "No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all." I said, "What are you talking about? You have to be afraid. Clearly, you don't watch the news." I said, "Oh, yeah. I watch the news, and I've been there. I've been over there. But let me tell you what. I know the one that came to ransom them that were held captive by the fear of death. None of this world made sense to me until I became a Christian. And the only reason it made sense to me is because I was over in Baghdad, Iraq, and to speak about darkness, that is a dark a place as any. Just the spiritual oppression that's in the air. But today is no different than any other time. If we go back to creation, Genesis 1 and 2, God created everything. He spoke into existence all of nature and all of creation and put man in a perfect garden and said, simply, there's two trees that you're not allowed to eat from. And to make a long story short, Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed God, and because of his disobedience, he brought with him death. And it was only one generation after that the first homicide was recorded. It was one generation. It was Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. So it's not surprising to me that kids are shooting themselves in school. It doesn't surprise me at all. So that's the first generation. It's only a couple generations later that you see the rise of false religion with the Tower of Babel. You see the flood. And at this time, God said, "That's it. We're done. And it repents me that I made man." And he made an ark and preserved mankind in this one family, but wiped all the rest of this evil out. So this is great. We've got a new start. Except in that very generation, Noah got off the ark, planted himself a vineyard, and is found drunk. We can go on and on and on talking about the darkness of this world, the slavery in Egypt, the delivery by Moses, and then immediately followed by the worship of the golden calf, led by his brother Aaron. We can talk about the corrupt judges and the prophets who had reprobate children. We could talk about the kings that were raised up by pride and brought down by that very same pride. And even David, a man after God's own heart, who was caught in adultery and then murder to cover that adultery, which all these evil kings eventually led to Israel's captivity. So as we look back, looking through the darkness, we see the captivity and David and Saul and the prophets and the judges and Moses and Abraham and Noah, and then Cain and Abel, back to the garden. We look back through all that darkness, and we go all the way back to creation, where everything was right, where if we could just do it again, but we can't. Time moves forward for us. But you know what's amazing to me? In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, when our federal heads sinned, God already had the cure. Chapter 6, or verses 6 and 7 of that chapter 3, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. In verse 15, God proclaimed that he would raise up a seed to deliver Adam and Eve from the curse. That's the gospel right there in Genesis chapter 3. And so now with God's eyes, we can look forward back through all those people and we can see backwards through Noah, that the one that fell in drunkenness. But we can look and see the ark, which is the saving of mankind. And we can see Moses, which is the deliverer. We can see the plagues, which God plagued Egypt with. And we can see the one with a darkness that overcome all the homes. And the Hebrews' homes had light. We can see the Passover lamb that covered and protect from the destroyer. And on it goes all the way through the Old Testament. And for sake of time, I won't read all of them that I wanted to, but we can see that from the Garden of Eden, from the time Adam and Eve sinned, God promised to deliver, covered them with the skins of a lamb right then and there, and then all the way to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Pastor read it today. He said, "But unto you that fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, capital S, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." So here we are back to creation, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. So the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament is bookended with depravity if you look at it one way, but if you look at it from God's eyes, it's bookended with hope. God has hope for sinners, for deliverance. From the beginning, God had deliverance in mind. So it's this time of year that we look and we celebrate the incarnation of the one, the deliverer, the perfect lamb. And it's the very first chapter of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the darkness that's in my heart and in yours. "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And being interpreted, God is with us. God is the only one that could take our sins on him and bear that shame so that we could have eternal life. And so like we saw in the Old Testament, that hope, that light, we can zoom right through the New Testament and see the same thing. Luke chapter 1, "He gave light to them that sat in darkness." In chapter 2, what we read, Simeon's prophecy, he would bring salvation and light to the Gentiles, not just to Israel. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." We know that. "In him is life, and the life was the light of men." The light shone into the darkness. In verse 9, it says, "That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world." Jesus said about himself, he said, "I am the light of the world," in John 8. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I remember those days when I didn't have the light of life, when things weren't bright and cheery. My future was not bright and cheery. In John 12, he said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." In the book of Acts, there was a man named Saul who was blinded by the light of God. 1 Timothy says that God dwells in an unapproachable light. 1 Peter says that God has called those of us that are saved out of darkness into his marvelous light. And 1 John said, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So of course these children are up here singing praises. Of course I go to work with praises on my lips for such a marvelous Savior. And when I look all the way to the back of the book and I see in Revelation, the last two chapters, 21 and 22, God gets rid of the sun because the Bible says that there's no need for a sun to shine because God dwells in that city and there's no need for a sun to shine because God is there and he dwells in the light and he is the light of heaven. And we will be able to see God as he is. So just like the Old Testament is bookended by God's promise of redemption, so too is the New Testament. So, what does the Christmas season mean? If you're saved today, it means, praise God, you were saved out of that darkness of your heart. Just like in the time of Jesus, all was dark and waiting for a Savior. So too was your heart at one time. So rejoice. Remember those days. Go back to those days. Celebrate the gift, the unspeakable gift of God, as 2 Corinthians puts it. Remember the day that God shone his light into your darkness and let every little light that we see as we drive around this Christmas season, be a small reminder of the darkness that God has overcome with the light in your heart. So that's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is if you're not saved. If you don't know for sure today that God is your Savior, you came here, you're a good person, perhaps you grew up in the Catholic Church like I did, and you've got your religion. Good for you, but your religion does not make you saved. Your good works do not make you saved. Only Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is the only thing that will cover your sins. The Bible says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God is long-suffering to you that are not saved, just like he was to me before I was saved. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages is what you earn. That's what I earn when I go to work day in and day out. I expect my employer to give me my wages. You and I have earned death. That's the reason why we're going to die someday. If God suffers, perhaps we'll get our 70 years that he's promised, or 80. But you are going to die because of your sin. But that's not the end of that verse, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." And that's what this season is all about, right? Giving gifts. We give little gifts that are going to perish with the using, but that gift of eternal life will be there forever and ever. And we have God's promise. John 3:16, we all know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So when you see those gifts under the tree this year, or when you see the gifts in your workhouse at the ugly sweater contest at your work, right? When you see those gifts, think of the gift that you have yet to receive, that you would receive by faith. "For it is by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Pastor preached this morning about a shaking of the rock. And he also said that he has had his feet planted on the rock that stands sure. And you too, if you repent of your sins and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus, you can be made new. You can be born again into God's family. And you can have your feet planted on that rock. You can be born again, and when life's troubles come, and they will, you can have peace like a river. You can say, like Pastor said this morning, you can say, "Are we living?" He said this morning, he said, we are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying, but we are in the land of the dying going on to the land of the living. And that's God's wish for you this season. Trust and believe. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your gift, Lord, your unspeakable gift. Thank you for the light that you've shown into my heart, into my family. Thank you for these families represented here, Lord. I pray that you would be very real to them this season, Lord, and that you would quicken them and change them according to your word. If there's any here that do not know you today, I pray that today would be their glad day of salvation. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.